Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Veterinary Advice, Animal News, and Views. The place for pets. And the people who love them.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Here are your hosts, practicing veterinarians, Dr. Roger Welton and Dr. Karen Lewis.
Hello, pet lovers. We're back. We're alive. I'm Dr. Karen Lewis. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Veterinary Advice, Animal News and Views. Dr. Roger Welton's with me, my friend, who I was like, wow, who are you? It's been way too long. I'm really sorry. Hopefully life calms down for both of us, or we will both be suicidal. So what choice do we have?
That's true. And, you know, it's funny and nice to talk to you again, by the way. How much pre-show have we had here? We've been chatting for like more than 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Mostly bitching and moaning about things. But it's therapeutic. It's great to talk to you again. I did have an episode without you. I hope... I felt like I was cheating on you, but it was a really cool topic. It was a new graduate that I've hired, and I've seen her go through the trials and tribulations of the new graduate. I just forgot what that was like, and I just wanted to have her share her perspective. And you know, catching up with you has been a little challenging lately, and you catching up with me has been challenging. We had to go and start second practices, so it is what it is. But nice to be with you again.
Yeah, we're back finally. And I think hopefully, like I said, my other doctor was gone the whole month of June, basically. So that was horrible. So now she's back and hopefully things are more sane. So
I think we talked about addressing email, but you know, there was more than one post on the grain free topic, and We've been so inundated with this at work and the discussion of it with the FDA coming out with their findings on the study of the heart disease linked to the grain-free diets, seeing it in breeds that we really shouldn't be seeing it, a very highly genetic disease. And we just kind of decided let's just not answer any one particular email, but just let's just do a blanket comment on it. You still with me on that?
Oh, God, yeah. So basically, I just did a blog article that's really getting thrown around Facebook a lot, which is good. If you want to read it, it's on vetchick.com. And we're not going to do the whole episode on grain-free diets and DCM because we're bitter, we're tired. I have a blog article I wrote almost exactly a year ago about this.
Me too.
And I still have to write about it because no one listens to us. So I'm like, whatever, be whatever you want. I quit. I am tired.
Tapping out.
I am done.
Right. So the amazing thing, Dr. Karen, is that the FDA looks into this and basically not only confirms what the cardiologists were saying out of the Baltimore area, they're naming names of the worst offenders.
In terms of brands, right.
And yet we get an email with this person being skeptical of the FDA's findings. Yet you brought up a great point. If this was a heartworm preventive or a flea preventive that was potentially
antibiotic or anything
that was even like remotely mentioned in the same breath as this disease, what would happen?
Oh yeah, that's a killer. So if it was any type of drug that caused this heart disease, people would be like, oh my gosh, I will never give that drug. Are you sure it's not that drug? Let me ask my vet. Oh my gosh. But because it's food causing a disease, everybody's like, whatever. I don't care. I'm going to keep, you know, I don't get the disconnect. That's why we're not going to do the podcast on it. We want to address it. If you want to read my article about it, like I said, I have two of them now because I'll probably do it annually because no one ever listens to us or anyone.
You know, I'm not even going to write a blog post about it. I'm so amazed you had the wherewithal to just do that. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my fingers on this because no one paid attention last time.
Well, I know.
And you and I touched on this earlier. Talking about pet food is like, seriously, it's up there with talking about religion and politics.
It is like a religion. I think it's like a cult.
It's a cult. It's crazy. It's like you're not going to change people's minds. Oh, but the ones that are just really, really legitimately shaken up, I had one today coming into me like, can you give me a suggestion? What should I feed? And I want to just say to them, I don't say this, but I just want to say to them, well, but I thought you said that veterinarians don't get nutritional training in veterinary school. I thought you said that we're actually in the tank for pet food companies, and so we're not a good source for nutritional information because, you know, they send us on lavish vacations to Hawaii and stuff like that. So why the F are you even asking me? I'm not a good source. You know better than I do. Now you're worried?
I know.
Sorry. So that's the last I'm going to say about it.
Yeah. The only reason I wrote an article is because people were asking me, and they were like, they're asking me, like, nicely, like, can we have a good resource to send our friends and to send our clients because we don't have a good place to send them. And basically, they're asking me for backup. So I'm happy to, you know, they called in the backup, which is me, and I busted out 1,000 words in 20 minutes and said, here you go. So, anywho, but what we're going to talk about in this podcast, actually, which is not very ranty.
Yeah, we got to get out of that mindset. We're both stressed out.
I know, we're both just, I'm exhausted. I'm not going to lie. Okay, let me just say, my last appointment of the day was four freaking identical pugs whose names all rhymed. Nobody had even a collar on. I could not tell these dogs apart. And I'm like, I still don't know who has the bad knee. I gave up.
So just like, it's like Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Bowie.
My God, I was like, I can't even. So anyway, we're just in this lap-happy stage now. So what we are going to talk about is very timely, and it's about 4th of July and things you can do to help your dog, medications, and medications that you should not do. And if your vet prescribes them,
get a new vet.
Get a new vet. Yeah. So,
sorry. I'll
let you go on a little bit more about that.
I hate to throw anybody under the bus, but there's some things that just they shouldn't be doing. You know? It's just, you know, it is what it is. I'd like to add, Dr. Karen, that 4th of July in Florida is not just 4th of July. We have 4th of July every afternoon between 3 and 5 p.m., starting in early June all the way through the end of September. And it's actually worse in 4th of July because there's a barometric pressure drop, and we get anxiety just about every day in a lot of patients. We're dispensing this stuff like candy. So for those of you who live in the subtropics like I do, please pay attention to this one, especially pay attention to what not to do, because you're potentially torturing your poor dog every day.
Mm-hmm. So the drug that we're talking about that, you know, 30 years ago, we didn't have, veterinarians didn't have a whole lot of choices, and so I'll give it to them. What choice did you have? So, you know, back then you had, you know, dexamethasone and penicillin, and those were your drugs. So, acepromazine was a sedative that came out, and everybody was like, oh, I'll use this for storms and fireworks, and it was prescribed, and there's still some very old, kind of out of it vets who still prescribe it. Most vets, thankfully, are realizing that it's terrible. I'm just going to say it's terrible. Dr. Raj, I'll let you explain why it's terrible because I'm getting ranty and I'll stop.
Oh, it's okay. You're the more behavioral one, but my understanding from the behavioral specialist, which I'm not, but I do listen to the experts. Washington State University does a lot of work on this. Love them for behavioral management. Basically, you are incapacitating the dog to react to its emotions, so it looks nice and calm, but inside it's raging with fear. Raging, 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 and actually it's detectable because their heart rate is still very, very high, so they're just suffering silently and can't move. Am I getting that right, Dr. Karen?
So basically, yeah, so we have a fearful dog. The drug we're doing does nothing for the fear, but kind of immobilizes them. Yeah. So imagine being in a room where you're terrified, and then you can't move. That's actually what most nightmares are. if you think about it, really, you know.
Yeah.
Or you're like seeing like three of them, or you know, I mean, like it's just.
And actually, it's the definition of a nightmare.
It was seriously, it's literally like a nightmare. Like if you tried, and the killer is, there actually was a study that came out, and I can't remember where it was, but they think it's obviously you can't really prove it. But that dogs experience like a PTSD type reaction to this drug, because it's better to actually just experience a scary thing without expromazine than to be drugged and paralyzed and just as fearful, and then you're like more scarred for life. So expromazine is bad. Ace is the trendy name, and you might see like there's Facebook memes going on like don't ace your dog. You know, there's a lot, thankfully, of good public education going around about this. So
there is, especially by particularly ranty veterinarians.
Yeah. Well, and also too, if you have a friend who's like, hey, I dug this stuff out back in my cabinet.
Get this yellow pill. It works great, man.
Well, yeah, and if they have the best of intentions, you know, and they're like, here, maybe it'll help because they feel sorry for your dog, you know?
Yeah.
Just thank them, take it, and throw it away. Then you're done. So, okay, so we just told you what not to do. Fortunately, there's a lot of things to do. Some are prescription. Some are over-the-counter. Both. And I often tell people there's no one thing. It's not like this one drug will fix it. It takes a cacophony. Yeah, like it's a team effort. Like you can't just you have to like attack the fear from multiple angles, I guess, you know, to kind of whittle it down.
Takes a village.
Yeah. So I guess let's start with supplements first that don't need a prescription. So if you just want to shop online and don't have time to get to your vet, but you want to get something, there's a lot of supplements that can help. Now, will supplements alone help? Like, completely? No. They'll take the edge off. The prescription stuff helps more. But like I said, I often recommend supplements in addition to the prescription stuff, because the more points we have in our corner, the better, basically. So one supplement, and we're going to name names. We're not endorsing any one name, just letting you know what's out there, basically. One of the ones I like a lot is Soliquin. It's used to be veterinary only, and now, like everything else in the world, you can just buy it wherever online because no one cares about prescriptions anymore, it seems. So, but Soliquin is good, and if I was smart, I would have grabbed the package and looked at it and looked at the ingredients, but I'm not smart. So, I don't remember. I think it's I know it has theanine and something else I can't remember, but anyway. But theanine is a protein, basically, that has been shown in multiple studies and in multiple just real life to have a calming effect on dogs. Anxetane is another brand. It's just theanine, where Soliquin is theanine and something like colostrum.
I'm like you. I believe there's milk casein in it.
Yeah. Okay. There's some other milky thing.
Yeah. So like the whole old wives' tale that's not so old wives' tale, because there's some truth to it. Warm milk helps you sleep as long as you don't fart the roof off the house while you're sleeping. When you warm milk, it releases the casein in it, and casein's a calming protein. So it takes the casein out and puts it into a chewable form without the farts. Right, you know, dogs are lactose intolerant, so you don't want to feed them milk. I want to be clear about that, because you know, people hear milk casein, oh great, I'll just save the money and feed them some milk.
We're not advocating more milk for your dog.
No,
just that
the stuff that helps make them sleepy that they put in this stuff. But yeah, it can be helpful. It there's something to it.
Definitely. And another product out there is Zilkine. I haven't used it much just because it's so god-awful expensive, but it's another milk protein derivative as well. And I have some clients who love it and swear by it. And there's no hard and fast rule either. There's no, you know, which one's the best. Well, it depends on which one's best for your dog.
Right.
You know, one of my dogs does great on Composure, which is another brand of, it's got theanine and a couple other things in it. And they always have some extra proprietary blend of herbs or whatever. But,
proprietary blend. I love that term.
I know. That's like the biggest cop-out ever. I'm going to get my own proprietary blend just so I can call it that.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Why don't we come up with one together?
Seriously. And it'll solve everything.
Everything. Yes. It'll treat everything.
Stress, arthritis.
And we'll make sure it's grain-free as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It is grain-free. Yes. gluten-free. Yes.
Oh, man.
It's coconut oil-based.
There you go. Now you're killing me. Oh, my God. Legit laugh out loud on that one.
Okay.
Back on task.
Okay.
Okay. We're probably offending so many people right now. Let me ask you about this one because I get mixed results. I think there's some placebo involved with this one, but Rescue Remedy.
Yeah, I haven't used it. I have some clients who swear by it.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you think it helps, who am I to tell you no? You know,
that's my opinion on it. You know, because there's valerian root, kava, and one of those other relaxation roots or herbs or something. I don't think you're hurting anything. I tried it for myself for airplane anxiety because I'm a pansy on the airplane. Didn't do much, just saying. Oh, but you know.
Pants and freaking out. Yeah.
Yeah, I still needed to order a Bloody Mary. So that does work.
Okay.
But as far as I've heard mixed results on that one too. Another OTC, but it's not like quote unquote natural. Benadryl. Benadryl is a known anxiolytic. Diphenhydramine is the molecular name. And, you know, if you look at
I tell people not to give it because in my experience, I have had success. And I tell people not to even waste their time.
Yeah, you know, it's I've heard tepid results, honestly, at best. I've had more success with it with travel anxiety. Because of the fact that it helps with any motion sickness because there's an anti-nausea effect. But if you look at the molecular structure of diphenhydramine, it's actually quite similar to benzodiazepines. Very similar. They're structurally very, very similar. And they kind of exert a similar effect with the appetite stimulation, reduction in nausea, potential anxiolytic effect. It's not profound, I would agree, but it's something you could try. 1 milligram per pound. You're not going to hurt anything, and the worst that can happen is it fails. The only epic fail, though, Dr. Karen, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Have you ever seen the paradoxical reaction to Benadryl?
Oh, yes. I've seen some dogs who it makes them, like, jumpier.
It makes them more crazy. Yeah, yeah. So.
And that's why I tell people, no Benadryl, don't even. Because if your dog's that dog, you are so hating life.
I think statistically it's like 1 in 50 dogs, but, you know, it's just your luck to recommend it and oh, crap, yeah. It's that dog.
I'm like, no, no. So I tell people, because I'm like, I'll just give him Benadryl. I'm like, no. Just get an anti-anxiety supplement or something. But
let's talk pheromones.
Else that's not a pill that helps a lot is pheromones.
There you go. You know, we're telepathic.
Oh, and is it amazing?
So expand on the pheromones.
Yeah, so speaking of things that sound like voodoo,
it does,
but. And it does sound like voodoo, but actually it's legit. There's the original one was called DAP. It stood for dog appeasing pheromone, and then it got rebranded and now it's called Adaptyl. And now everybody has now this comfort zone, other kind of knockoffs of the Adaptyl. And basically the theory is there's a pheromone is a chemical that goes into the nose, but doesn't necessarily have a smell. But because your nose and your whole olfactory system is like the whole front part of your brain, smells actually interact with your brain, or even just things inhaled through your nose interact with your brain very well, which is also why like smells bring back memories so well. So anyway, so these pheromones, apparently there's something a mother dog produces that signals to her puppies that, yes, I'm mom, it's good. You know, all is well with the world, no need to be stressed. So they're able to synthesize this somehow. I have no idea how, and mimic this. And it actually does help. It's not crap like it sounds. It comes in, I like the spray best because you can spray a bandana and put on your dog, spray their bed, spray their blanket. And I have a low stress clinic I just opened up, which is why we have not been connecting for so long. And, we'll do what we call a Adaptyl bomb. And basically my tech goes in there and just gets jiggy with it and sprays every surface she can find and walks out going, so that's when we know it's working. So, and we can notice the difference. Like dogs that we know very well will come in, and when my tech has done her Adaptyl bomb, they're like, that's cool. I'll take your peanut butter. And before they're like, no, I don't want your peanut butter, you know, so... It does, and there have actually been controlled studies that show that it does help too.
It does work. It does work. I agree with you.
Some cause more than others. You know, I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, I had past tense, RIP Bernie, a major thunderstorm anxiety dog, and it worked. And the other thing that worked on Bernie was the thunder shirt.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, compressive shirt that makes them feel, I guess, for lack of a better word, hugged.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, it's like swaddling cloth, basically. Yeah.
It's like a baby being swaddled. And I found it worked best when I sprayed the Adaptil on the thunder shirt, put it on them. But then there were some thunderstorms that were like prolonged, you know, tropical storms, where that's just, it wasn't enough. Then you had to break out other stuff. And before we get to the other stuff, which is drugs, can you think of any other natural stuff? Natural or OTC?
No, apparently there's one I'm not thinking of, because otherwise you wouldn't have asked me. Hopefully.
No, I'm legit asking you, cause I'm out.
cause I'm thinking of, I have a whole blog article about this for, it's called Help for Scared Dogs in Storms or Fireworks. Okay. But no, I think that's, it's not necessarily anything you give them, but I have some people who actually will put cotton in their dog's ears, and they say that they can't hear the thunder as much and it takes the edge off. My dog was so annoyed by the GD cotton in his ears that I think it made it worse. But if you have a dog who's chill and wants to try that, knock yourself out.
Yeah, if I tried it with Bernie, he would have shook him right out. Just...
Oh, I know. I'm like, yeah, I don't see that working well. Or you put him in so far you can't get him back out and get to go to your vet.
Yeah.
Push the cotton out of your dog's ear.
Lots of fun. Yeah, I don't know. I used to call Bernie the walking barometer, because there could be a storm 45 minutes away. It's perfectly sunny out. You know how Florida is.
Yeah.
It's perfectly sunny out. There's not a cloud in the sky, and Bernie's pacing and crying, right? So it's not the noise he's hearing. He's picking up on the drop in pressure, this increase in static electricity that's on its way. And I knew I got to start his stuff, his routine, his shirt, his Adaptil. And you know, if you're going to give him a pill of something, I'll tell you what my pill was when we get into that. But if I'm going to give him some kind of pill, I better get it on board now, because that storm's on its way. And I want it in his system, which could take 45 minutes.
Right. Well, and actually, when you mentioned static electricity, that reminded me, too. I've never done this. I don't know if you have clients that do it. But they swear a dryer sheet. If you kind of like rub it on the dog, it helps them, like the whole static electricity that they're sensing. They say, like, you rub the dog down, like just a single stroke, you know, with a dryer sheet, and it helps them feel the static electricity less.
Okay.
I have no idea how legit that is. It can't hurt. Your dog will smell better.
It'll smell great. I mean, that's all you got to lose in the cost of one dryer sheet.
But have you ever heard that?
No, never heard it. That's the first.
Really? Maybe it's a Midwestern thing. You know, we do things kind of different up here, so.
We do some things different here in Florida too, so that's not one of them. But so I think we covered that. Let's get into pharmaceuticals.
Okay. Well, my favorite.
Oh wait, there's one more we forgot. Sorry.
Uh-oh. What?
It doesn't require a prescription. CBD.
Oh yeah. Well, depending on your state. And.
Yeah. What? So I toe a funny line, because there's no so medical marijuana is legal here in Florida, but there's no legal mechanism by which you can get your dog a medical marijuana card.
Right.
So what we do is, I know you're in the midst of some coursework on this. I just sat through a whole day of lectures on it. And there's this phenomenon called the entourage effect, where, you know, the cannabis part is really your like medicinal essential oil part of the cannabis plant or the hemp plant. And you got your THC, which is the psychotropic component. That's what gets people stoned, and that's what they go after for that sensation. What we're looking at mostly is the cannabis medicinal component, but there is some benefit for disease management, whole other topic we're talking about right now, just calming, adding back some of that THC to create the entourage effect. And I have found personally that straight up CBD without some THC in it is utterly useless. So I carry a product that's got 0.6% THC in it. And apparently that's the maximal allowable amount of THC in a cannabis product, allowable to be sold OTC. The highest I've seen outside of my office is 0.3%. But at any rate, you're going to be best off with a product that has some THC added back into it. But it is state by state, so check your state's legalities on that one. Apparently in Florida it's okay because I purchase it.
The farm bill that came out changed a lot of the rules, and I can't keep up anymore. It's so crazy. But Illinois, where I am, as of January 1, legalized recreational marijuana, and obviously
took it a step further.
Illinois is so broke. I'm like, finally legalize it and tax the crap out of it. Yay!
There you go. They're like, Florida, we'll see your medical and raise you a recreational.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's kind of what they did. But anywho, okay, so let's go to the drugs, the prescription drugs, not the quasi
prescription
we were just talking about. Yes. But my favorite is trazodone. I like it for two reasons. It's got a really, really wide dosing range. So like when you're describing like in basically all of July when it storms every afternoon and you're like, oh my gosh, you can give a moderate dose twice a day every day. Just give it all the time. Well, one of my dogs lives on it year-round just because he has no coping skills in life, basically. But twice a day, every day, you got that in him. And that gets the good mojo going. And then there's a higher dose you give when you know a storm's coming, when you know there's going to be fireworks, you know, whatever, what have you. But I've discovered I used to just do the fireworks dose, like, as needed, and it did not work as well. But even, like, for my aggressive house call patients, I'll have people do twice a day the day before, and then the high, you know, what I call the fireworks dose, before, and just having that extra twice a day, the day before, gets kind of the good mojo going. World of difference. I have dogs who I could not touch when I'm trimming their nails, and they're not knocked out. It's not a sedative at all. It's an anxiolytic. It basically, you know, treats anxiety and gives them coping skills.
For anxiety, insomnia in people.
Oh, well, and yeah. And I think they use it for PTSD in people too.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know, but I just learned something there, but yeah, the main indication I heard was insomnia in people.
Okay. So, but I love it, and it's affordable. It's pretty cheap. You can get it, you know, like your vet can, if you're in a pinch, your vet can call it into a human pharmacy for you, you know, and
save.
Then you're set. Yeah. I mean, you can't die from it. I'm sure if you ate, you know, like an entire bottle of 1,000 pills, you might, but I mean, it's, you know, it's got a really wide range of safety, which is good.
Yeah, and beyond that, if you have a dog that's in any kind of chronic pain, it's a known NSAID enhancer. So this came from the American College of Veterinary Surgeons. It actually will enhance the pain management effect of nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory medications. So if you don't want to jump to that narcotic level yet for pain management, chronic pain management, it's to boot helps enhance, say, like a carprofen or meloxicam or whatever your NSAID is of choice that you may use on your dog. So I like it for that too. And post-operative pain as well, I've used it for as an enhancer, not for primary, certainly.
I mean, like, we have a dog who had an orthopedic procedure and you need him to, like, not go jumping around on the leg you just worked on.
Yeah.
It's kind of two birds, one stone, you know?
No, so. It really does. I love it. And I'm not sure about your experience with it. I'm not sure if you got I don't think you get your daily dose of thunderstorm like we do. I know you get some wicked ones up in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I went to school there, so I've seen some really nasty ones like Wizard of Oz type stuff. They don't refractize, meaning like I give a dog a Valium, it's going to work. Second day, it's going to work, but not as well. Third day, not going to work that well, even less than the second day. And fourth day, it's utterly useless unless I'm jacking up doses. And I find the same thing with Xanax as well. Do you have that experience?
I didn't use it all that often. Like Xanax, I used just as needed, you know, but it was used so infrequently. I guess I never had anybody have that problem because like we'd have a storm and then it'd be 2 weeks and they'd have a storm. You know what I mean? It wasn't like day after day after day that they were using it. So I never seemed to run into that problem, thankfully.
That's good. So, yeah, I mean, so that's a good option for people that are in a more temperate climate that don't experience a daily thunderstorm, you know, and they're dirt cheap. You know, that Xanax, from a generic perspective, is alprazolam, and Valium is diazepam. And I find that I like alprazolam, which is Xanax, better in cats, and I like diazepam better in dogs, has been my own experience. I found that alprazolam in dogs doesn't work quite as well. But you know, I've been in Florida since 2004, so I've had to spend the last 16 years, figuring out what works best for this time of year. It's challenging. You got dogs ripping their house apart, you know, just soiling in the house and just freaking out every day. You know, it's not like...
I'm sure it builds in terms of their stress. I mean, you're like, oh my God, not again. Can I not get a break? You know what I mean?
Getting on a plane every day. I think I would die.
Seriously. There are not enough Bloody Marys in the world for that.
No,
yes.
They're not. I fry my liver trying to overcome that.
Actually, I'm glad you said that. Speaking of liver, alprazolam and Valium actually can have liver side effects.
Okay.
So if your liver is compromised, a normal dog, don't worry about it. But if you have a dog with a compromised liver, or if they're on another drug like phenobarbital or another drug that's like really pounding that liver hard, you would not want to take those. But your veterinarian knows this. We're not telling you how to medicate your own dog. We're just kind of letting you know what, in case your vet's like, your dog, that doesn't work for your dog, that might be why. You know, just food for thought.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point. It's not without potential paybacks for sure.
Yeah.
And I think there's less paybacks for trazodone. And there's one more that we talked about in pre-show, which was gabapentin. Can you enlighten us on that a little bit?
I love gabapentin.
Love it for cats. But.
Yeah. I love it for cats too. Mm-hmm. But for dogs, it's actually used for neuropathic pain in people. The brand name is Neurontin. My mom took it for her shingles, just to give you an idea, you know, I have people who took it after surgery. A lot of my old crotchety arthritic dogs are on it for the pain aspect, but it has anti-seizure and anti-anxiety effects as well, and in high doses, it can be mildly sedating. When I start a dog on gabapentin for pain, I've learned I only give it at night for the first few days and then let their body kind of acclimate and then go to twice a day, because when I first started doing this, I made the mistake of listening to the experts. Never listen to the experts, because they're not in the real world most of the time. And I did this twice a day, gabapentin dose, and I called the owner a couple days later to say, hey, how's Buddy doing? And he's like, I might have told you this before. He's like, that drug worked great. He slept for 3 days. I'm like, okay. Not the goal of the treatment. Okay. But anyway, it can't make him sleepy. But if you have a dog who's like flipping his lid and like destroying himself, gabapentin in addition to trazodone is what I do a lot. And actually, one of my vet techs, her dog gets trazodone and gabapentin every night for fireworks, because the trazodone alone didn't cut it. He's such a stress ball. And his thunder shirt and his Adaptil spray. And his Soliquin. Okay, just give you an idea of what people go through. And he's still a nutcase. He's just less of a nutcase.
Right.
At least he says he's not like destroying himself and hurting himself. And then they can just console him and tell him that he's not going to die.
There's just very often with dogs like that, there's no magic bullet. You just you try everything, and it's like with skin allergies that are really bad. There's no magic bullet. You're going to manage it at best. You're not going to cure it. And just hope for the best outcome, but it's going to be less than ideal. And folks, you're going to have those out there. I'm sure you're thinking, yep, me. I got one of those. Maybe you have two or three of those. One contraindication with gabapentin, it is primarily excreted by the kidneys. So if there is known kidney disease, that would be the one reason not to use gabapentin. It doesn't cause kidney issues, but it's not recommended to use it if there's known kidney issues. Good reason to do that senior blood work once a year.
Well, actually, I have dogs who have mildly compromised kidneys, but they're so dang painful. We just have a heart-to-heart, and they're like, my dog's quality of life without it sucks, so keep it on. I'm like, I get it. What's the point of having a dog who you can't walk, but your kidneys are better, you know?
quality over quantity.
Yeah, right. But gabapentin is, like I said, I like it. It has anti-seizure effects, which is kind of funny because I have a lot of patients who have stress-induced seizures. So when I tell them this drug, they're like, bonus, hey, you know, why not? So
yep.
It's more drug that I know you use that I have personally never carried or used, and not that I'm opposed to it, I just never bothered. Do you know which one I'm going at?
I do.
Okay.
Would that be Soleo?
Yep. Talk about it, because I ain't know nothing about it.
So Soleo is a microdose of a sedative we commonly use in veterinary medicine. So I do a lot of orthopedics, and I repair a lot of knees, and you know, you know your ACL tear dogs when they come in, they're limping just the right way. You could feel the movement. You know what they are, but I hate to always have to like, okay, let's make another appointment so you can come in so I could sedate your dog and we'll take the right views. Well, no, I got a better option. I can give your dog this drug called dexmedetomidine intravenously. Your dog's going to be really nice and sleepy and relaxed. We'll get the x-ray views that we need, and then we give them a second injection that reverses the first one, and you can go home, and I can turn you around in 25 minutes. Much better than having to book another morning to get your x-rays and sedation, and then another morning for the surgery. So I could just diagnose it all in one day, get your blood work, schedule your surgery. I'm sorry to go through that whole runaround, but just to tell you how heavy of a sedative this can be and effective it is, that's dexmedetomidine. Well, Soleo is a micro dose of that, so you're not really sedating the dog. And I use it on my own Bernie, Mr. Thunderstorm, any noise anxiety, and it works great because that micro dose, it doesn't sedate them. They don't get the heavy eyelids. They don't look stoned. They're still hungry, but they're just chilling. You know, they're just taking it in stride. It works great, and it's absorbed transmucosally, so you just rub it on their gums, and it doesn't have to go through the whole digestive system. It goes through the mucous membranes of the mouth. You rub it on their gums, and guess what? It's absorbed within minutes. There's a downside, though, Dr. Karen. It's expensive as hell.
Oh, I know it is. Yeah. It's a brand name, and they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, so you got a Chihuahua. Good option. You know, here in Florida, you might spend, you know, $50-$60 a week to treat that Chihuahua because it's dose dependent on weight. You got to treat Bernie. Holy crap. I get stuff at wholesale. It was costing me upwards of $160 a month. That's wholesale.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, I think it has calming effects, but I wonder how truly anxiolytic it is. I don't know. I mean, I know they have studies coming out that I don't know. Have you ever had a drug come out that you're just like, just don't love, and you just can't figure out why, and you're like, I just don't love it.
Yes.
I don't know. That's me and Soleo. I don't have anything, and I have no basis for that. I'm just like, eh. I don't know. I'm just looking weird out. But other things you can do that people ask about that are like, well, hey, what about the drugs like Prozac? Or Elavil, or if you're talking about anti-anxiety drugs, what about that? And those don't work for thunderstorms, fireworks, blah, 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 because you have to take it, well, unless you like went a long term, if you literally have thunderstorms every day of your life, you know, then you might. But you have to take it every day for like 4 to 6 weeks before it starts to work. So you can't pop your dog a Prozac and you're like, oh, that helped. No, it really didn't. I have some people who around here, like if they're, oh my gosh, the month before the 4th of July, like the whole month of June, it's like a freaking war zone in their neighborhood. They're like, they'll start Prozac in May 1 just to get it going because they're like, it's hell. And they'll add the Trazodone and the Gabapentin and the Thunderstorm and the Soleo and the, you know what I mean? But, I'm not saying you can't, but just, it's not like, oh, I'll pop you a Prozac and it'll help. It doesn't work that way.
Well, that's 30 to 60 days. You know, exactly. Of everyday administration. And I actually had Bernie on generic Prozac fluoxetine for 2 years. Didn't really do a whole lot except depress his appetite a little bit. That is one side effect. They're not quite as hungry, which, you know, for a Labrador, that means he actually ate like a normal dog.
Yeah, I like for a lab who's prone to being fat, you're like, darn.
Right? Yeah. So, not practical. But something to think about, especially if, you know, let's face it, some dogs with this anxiety, it's not just necessarily triggered by noise or storms. They're just anxious dogs, and they're anxious, but when the garbage truck goes by, and
right.
That's going to happen all the time. And maybe it's a good option for those guys. You might have tepid results with it, but in all honesty, you know, I've been down this road so many times for separation anxiety, name your anxiety. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a terrible amount of success.
It's a magic bullet. I mean, I add it. Yeah. My dog's on Paxil, and gabapentin and trazodone and Composure. Are you seeing a theme here? Because I have dogs that are stress balls. But and one other thing that we should mention, again, not for like incidental stress, not for like fireworks, but dogs who just like generally are just so stressed out in life, there are prescription foods that are made by Royal Canin makes one called Calm. And Hill Science Diet makes a bladder food called CD Stress, or they make an ID Stress for intestinal stress. And these foods contain a lot of what we were talking about before with the supplements, like the milk proteins, you know, tryptophan, all these things. And I thought it was a bunch of crap when it came out, because I'm like, I'm me. But a lot of the behaviorist specialists I talked to were like, actually, it helps. And they're like, okay, well, A, it helps. B, it has no side effects. See, you have to feed your dog something anyway, so I know something that might potentially help with stress, you know. So I'm like, I get it. So they're not cheap, but again, just that is just another, like I said, because you can't do one thing. You have to attack it from every angle. So if another tool in your arsenal that you can add to maybe help if your dog's just super stressed out 365.
No, it's good. I agree with you, and I thought it was a little crap too when they came out, but I do get anecdotal reports of some benefit. I do believe there's some owner placebo effect, you know, involved in that. They want to believe it's helping, you know, but I think that's the only reason I get efficacy reports of Rescue Remedy. That's my own opinion, but whatever.
Yeah,
it's not hurting anything. But yeah, so it's a multimodal approach for some of these dogs. And if it's just 4th of July and, you know, you're in your situation where it's a thunderstorm every week or every 2 weeks, then you have your various options, and we laid them out for you, whether you're in my situation and the things that I got to deal with, predominantly thunderstorms year round. But God, 4th of July is bad here. 3 days leading up to it, the night of, and then about a month after. and then, you know, the more temperate area where you can more piecemeal it a little bit.
Yeah. So, and like I said, and talk to your vet too. And I'll be honest, if you think vets don't get nutritional training in vet school, which they do, what a lot of them don't get is behavior training.
That's a good point.
And a lot of vets honestly don't know. And if your vet is telling you, oh, just to give it ACE, or if they're telling you that, oh, you know, you should be the alpha dog and you should be dominant, your vet doesn't have an effing clue. I'm sorry. And they might be great at doing surgery, and they might be great at their stuff, but if they honestly didn't have any behavior training, when I was at U of I, they didn't have a behaviorist. I had to seek it out. I had to go to Purdue and do a 2-week behavior externship because I'm a nerd and I wanted to, you know, I mean, like, but most, everybody else in my class got no behavior training. So how do you know, you know? So
yeah, I graduated from there 2 years before you, and same thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't seek it. I just came out ignorant of behavior.
And then you met me and I helped show you the way.
that has helped. I've actually learned quite a bit from you, in all honesty. When we started podcasting together, it's been several years now, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like 2014, right?
It feels like it was 2004, but yeah. I don't know.
but you know, a lot of it's been just, you know, Washington State puts on a lot of CE at the conferences, and I try to jump on a few of those every time I'm at a conference, because I like to know more. It's not my passion, I got to be honest, but, you know.
Well, you know what's funny? I used to hate behavior. Like, I went to the externship, and I loved it, and then, like, when I started doing it, like, when I first graduated school, oh, God, I hated it. I'm like, who has time for this? Ugh. But then, well, with doing house calls, and then I opened my low-stress clinic, behavior saves more lives than any drug, I am convinced, in terms of dogs that are rehomed or euthanized for aggression, or dumped in a shelter, you know, because people don't understand how to speak dog or what their dog's telling them. And there's all these horrible people on TV like Cesar Millan. Yes, I dropped his name. I'm sorry. But, oh, dear God, the Board Academy of Behaviorists all says it, so it's not just me. But, and so, and I think there's actually a study that showed behavior problems like the number one cause of death in dogs in this country, or a loss of home. So, if you want to save lives, I'm like, well, I kind of had to. And now it's funny, in my low stress clinic, I see all these animals that other vets have told them not to come back. And the people are freaking awesome. The dogs are awesome. Some might need trazodone for the appointment. A lot of them, if you just sit on the floor and just talk to them and don't slam them down on a table and don't slap a muzzle on them and they don't even know what hit them yet, you know, and they're like, no wonder they're freaked out. I have dogs I'm drawing blood on that the last vet couldn't touch, you know. I mean, it just take the time and do it. And that's a totally different tangent now. I'll shut up because that was, but.
Well, the same principles apply to, you know, the fear they're feeling in the home. You know, and it's so it's a tangent, but it's a good tangent because, you know, there's various things that you can apply. And I think we highlighted, you know, a lot of good ones, and none are perfect. And you might have to play around with some of them, but have an honest conversation. Like Dr. Karen said, if you're like me, when I was in my first 3 years out of school as a new graduate, when all I was thinking about was learning the next orthopedic repair, and I could not care less about behavior. Maybe I wasn't the guy to talk to. I'm still not the best guy to talk to. And, you know, maybe I'll text Dr. Karen or another colleague I have that's more versed and has a greater passion for it, or go on the Veterinary Information Network. There's a lot of behaviorists on there as well that are happy to chime in. God, they're the most passionate, those specialists.
I find on
VIN, you know, they're just like, yes, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, I do a neuro consult and I get a, you know, a nice little consultation from the neurologist, but the behavior ones, you'll get like 10 to chime in. They're just so excited about it.
But the thing about this behavior specialist too, which I've learned, is they're so passionate, but it's not always realistic, because I've referred clients to for some pretty hardcore problems, and all the things you're telling them to do, they're like, I work full time. Like, yeah. I have to like quit my job to do things. And it's great. And I'm sure it would work if they did, but they're like, seriously, there's only so many hours in a day, you know? And so that's rough. And I don't really have a great answer for that either, but basically, yeah. So, I mean, again, I'm not knocking the vets who didn't have behavior training, because Illinois didn't have it. I mean, like I said, everyone else in my vet school class but me didn't have it, and I'm the big dork that went to Purdue because I had to get behavior training because I just thought it was important. So anyway, but yeah. And also, if you try one drug and it doesn't work, don't give up on drugs. One of my patients, I give out trazodone like it's candy. My local behavior specialist calls it vitamin T. One of my patients reacted horribly to it and they thought he was going to die. So he just got like super stoned, fell down the stairs, which didn't help anything. Because I'm like, don't let him go on the stairs. Okay. You know, and then after that, he was extra out of it and sore because he's an old dog who fell down the stair. You know, it was bad. So if you're giving any of these drugs the first time, keep your dog away from the top of the stairs and watch him. And if he's super stoned or anything, you know, talk to your vet and be like, hey, I don't think that dose worked. I have one dog who she has to get like a, she's a 60-pound lab, and I give her like the dose I give my chihuahua because she's super sensitive and she like was like cold cocked for 12 hours when I gave her, you know? So not every dog reacts the same way. So just keep an open mind. You know, if your dog is like overreacting or something, like, okay, let's dial it down or dial it up, you know, and don't just poo-poo it all together.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the one person that can have half a glass of wine and they're all woozy, and the person next to him has a whole bottle and they're not even remotely as woozy. People process them different ways.
I said, which would be me and you? But yeah.
right, exactly. Exactly.
I'll let you guys guess which one's which, but right. Yes.
Bloody Mary on the plane. We'll leave it at that. So great to connect with you again. Great topic. Very relevant. I'm not going to set a timetable as to when we connect again, but we're going to really try to soon. And
my life is better now, so I'm much more optimistic. So.
Great. Well, feel free to blow up my phone and let's make this happen, because it's always a great time. I feel better. I don't know about you, but like every time we have these episodes, I'm like, wow, I've been able to bounce off so much frustration.
And show therapy session.
It's therapeutic. We've been saying this from the beginning. Like,
it is. I know.
It's a support group. It's great. Love it. So good night, everybody.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you for listening.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.